searched the scriptures. Ellen G. White. The knowledge of God which Jesus brought to our world and unfolded to man, we are not to retain as our own peculiar treasure, without imparting it to our fellow men. The priceless knowledge of God, which through His Word has been committed to us, has not been given to us to remain a useless possession. We are to impart to others the knowledge of the fact that to know God and Jesus Christ, whom He hath sent, is eternal life. We are privileged not only to place ourselves under the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, but to invite others to admire His loveliness, to dwell upon His charms, and to become partakers of the riches of His glory. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to use every faculty to the glory of God in imparting a knowledge of His Word. Especially should no opportunity be lost in helping the youth and children to become intelligent in the study of the Scriptures. Such a knowledge will do more to bar the way against ungodliness than we can now imagine. With such a barrier erected, they will be able to meet the foe with Christ's words, "It is written." There is a great work to be done for the young, and every son and daughter of God may act a prominent part in it, and thus be partakers of the reward that will be given to the faithful workers. Christ is to dwell in the heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If this is your experience, you will certainly represent to the world the fact that ye are complete in Him. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Jews were blinded and confused by their own superstition. They were of those described by the prophet when he says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." They had so far separated from God that they knew not the Father, and could not recognize the Father's image in His representative. Thus saith the Lord, "Ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The Virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up." Jesus said to the Jews, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Christ was the center and the glory of the ancient dispensation. From time to time he drew aside the veil and revealed the glory behind it. Isaiah had an unclouded view of this glory when he described the Lord sitting upon the throne that was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone,
because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The seraphim dwelt in the presence of Jesus, yet they veiled with their wings their faces and their feet. They looked upon the King in his beauty and covered themselves. When Isaiah saw the glory of God, his soul was prostrated in the dust. Because of the unclouded vision he was graciously permitted to behold, he was filled with self-abasement. This will ever be the effect upon the human mind when the beams of the Sun of Righteousness shine gloriously upon the soul. The light of the glory of God will reveal all the hidden evil and bring the soul to the place of humble confession. As the increasing glory of Christ is revealed, the human agent will see no glory in himself, for the concealed deformity of his soul is laid bare, and self-esteem and self-glorying are extinguished. Self dies, and Christ lives.
The Jews knew not God, nor Jesus Christ whom he had sent. They had lost the truths presented to them by both patriarchs and prophets, and did not recognize Christ, in whom dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Was it not strange that the only people who claimed to be the chosen people of God were in such darkness by departing from God that they did not recognize the Prince of Life, who was the foundation of their system of worship, the very one who was symbolized by their sacrificial offerings? Well, may we see the force of the words of Christ. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It is not safe to commit this work of searching the Scriptures to any other man to do for us, however learned he may be. If he has not a living connection with God, he will mislead the mind and cause the destruction of many souls. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?